Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first speaker again, Lauren Myers, professor in the Department of Integrative Biology and Statistics and Data at University of Texas, Austin. Lauren, please go ahead.
Thank you, Larry. So when I spoke on this call at the end of May, I described how we use models and data to build Austin, Texas's five-tiered alert system, which is still guiding policy and has so far managed to keep Austin slightly safer and more open than other parts of Texas. When Larry reached out to me a few weeks ago, he reminded me of what I'd said on the call, which is that this virus will spread exponentially if left unchecked, and that staged systems like Austin's allow us to tap on the brakes to avoid full-blown lockdowns. Larry, you went on to ask, now that things are increasing linearly rather than exponentially, and since our hospitals are not overrun, what does that say about your models? And shouldn't we be opening up even more? Well, since that email, the pandemic has taken a threatening turn. It is again growing exponentially and overwhelming our healthcare systems in cities throughout the U.S. and in Europe. And sadly, our models are still on track. But full disclosure, there are two important things we got wrong in those initial calculations. The bad news was that in June, we realized that Austin and many other cities will run out of ICU capacity long before they run out of general hospital capacity. And in fact, it's the trained ICU staff that are often in shortest supply. But our triggers were designed to prevent surges that exceed overall hospital capacity. So we had to recalculate and lower them to ensure that our ICUs would not be overrun. The good news was that we underestimated the impact of intermediate restrictions. Partial closures and face mask orders slowed transmission in July just as much as our March and April stay-home orders. Both reduced spread in Austin by at least 70%. This means that a strong push towards 100% compliance with face masking and common sense low-cost measures is a viable path towards a safer and more open U.S. Like many of you, I hunger for news and I hound my colleagues for information about COVID vaccines and therapies, any clear ticket out of this mess. But there are also two other news streams that I follow with deep interest and concern. The first is global alert systems. Daily, we hear reports of countries shutting down according to color-coded or multi-level policies. The UK has a three-tiered whack-a-mole system where cities are rated as medium, high, or very high risk, and restrictions are imposed accordingly. France has an alert system that shuts down communities when COVID cases occupy 30% of their ICUs. And by the way, France has almost tripled its ICU capacity since April. Harvard has postulated a test-based alert system that recommends opening when daily cases drop below 10 per 100,000. And the list goes on. However, when I look under the hoods of these systems, I rarely find a clear explanation for the choice of data that are being tracked or for the specific thresholds that are being used to trigger these closures. And when we've tested them rigorously using our COVID models, we find that they're hit or miss. Some will trigger too late to avert painful hospital surges, and others will trigger too early and thus exact unnecessary socioeconomic costs. Indeed, the consequences of poorly crafted policies are playing out worldwide as we speak. And we actually have the knowledge and the compute power to build more robust policies, but we lack the political will and global coordination to make it happen. The second issue on my radar is herd immunity. More specifically, you may have heard the acronym HIT, which stands for herd immunity threshold. HIT is the proportion of the population that has to be immunized either by infection or vaccination to bring the pandemic to a standstill. 4 weeks ago, the Great Barrington Declaration made headlines. In short, and in my opinion, it is a misanthropic free pass to go back to the life we crave based on faulty science that would lead us to unnecessary loss of life and livelihood. If you're not familiar with it, it's an easy Google. The declaration rests on two unpublished studies that claim that the herd immunity threshold HIT is very low and that the pandemic will fade away once about 15% of us are infected. Cutting through their fancy statistics and models, the researchers basically solved an A plus B equals C equation, where C is the low prevalence of COVID in Europe throughout the summer, and A and B are two possible explanations. Either A, a large fraction of people are naturally resistant and the spring pandemic wave had already brought Europe close to the herd immunity threshold, or B, we changed our behavior and we enacted measures that slowed transmission. the researchers didn't actually have the data needed to disentangle these two explanations, so they made a hidden assumption that our behavior rebounded to normal during the summer. In other words, they basically set B to zero, and thus they mistakenly concluded that we must already be close to a very low herd immunity threshold. It's clear, though, from the math and the alarming surges ongoing in the U.S. and Europe that we are far from achieving herd immunity, and we may very well never get there. In closing, although there are certainly aspects of COVID contagion that we still don't understand, many modelers like me have turned our attention to figuring out how best to use tests and vaccines to live more freely and safely with this virus. Thanks.
Perfect, Lauren.